Good morning, church. How are we all doing? Oh, this is great. Twice in one morning. Really excited for Bible class and getting that up and going today. And it was great. So excited to be here and to see all your smiling faces. You know, I was thinking, you know, Christian, are you interested in building a house for the Lord? Yeah. You know, Mordecai finds out, and he's going through his acts of humility and prayer to the Lord, and you know, Esther sends him some clothes. What are you doing? I always want to call him uncle, you know, because he's so much older, but cousin Mordecai, you know, what are you doing? You're ripping your clothes off, you know, so we'll send him some clothes. And he's like, I don't want them. And, you know, the thing that jumps out to me is Mordecai is a faithful man. All right, Mordecai doesn't want the clothes. Esther wants to help. How can I help? Well, Mordecai, I mean, you know I can't go to the king. Yeah. You know I can't do that. And, you know, I could if he called me, but he hasn't called me in a month. So it's not looking so good here. You know what do I do? And, I really like Mordecai's response, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to focus in on one thing here. He says in verse 14, if you remain silent, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. How cool is that? Mordecai knows God's people are going to be okay. Mordecai knows God will bring relief and deliverance for the Jews, as God would say in his own words, because of the promises he gave concerning David's. Gonna be okay. So whether you do it or someone else gonna do it, it's gonna get done. So what do you think, church? You interested in building a house for the Lord?
Yeah.
Is it gonna get done?
Yeah.
You just gotta decide whether you're gonna be the one to do it. And a lot of work to do inside the house too, huh? Well, that was class this morning. Yeah, we can start by just being good to each other, for starters, and we are. But what a tremendous faith Mordecai has, and we've been given the mind of Christ. Amen. It's just really cool. Okay, well, let's turn on over to Matthew chapter 21. Yeah, we'll start in verse 33. Yes, this message is from Philippians. So, yeah, we're headed there. But we're going to cover a little pretext here. Matthew chapter 21, verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, built a tower, and rented it out to vine growers, and then went on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. The vine growers took his slaves, beat one, killed another, stoned the third. Again, he sent another group of slaves, larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterward, he sent his son, saying, surely they will respect my son. But when the vine growers saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. And they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? They said to him, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to another vine grower who will pay him the proceeds at the proper season. Jesus said to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, this has become the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he said, who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they understood that he was speaking about them. And when they sought to seize him, they feared the people because they considered him to be a prophet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, that you had a plan to bring salvation to a people. You knew, and Jesus knew himself, that they would put an end to his physical ministry. Lord, Jesus did not come with a message that fell in line with the Jews wanted as far as their picture of a king and their overcoming of the opposition, the Romans. Lord, you came preaching a message that says, turn your cheek and to those who strike you and to go 2 miles when you're asked to go one. And so because of your message of love, you were ultimately sacrificed. Lord, you know, as the one who has created the vineyard and has sent out the workers, specifically his son, that they would do this. Lord, and we see that the ultimate end was to take it from a people and give it to a spiritual people who could produce the fruit of it. We pray in the name of King Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, true to my word, let me go ahead and head over to Philippians chapter 3. And going to work through the first 6 verses here. Okay, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me. It is a safeguard for you. All right, so Peter said something similar about being willing to give the message and to give it again, even though he gives the recipients of his second epistle the title have already been established in these truths. He says, I know you've been established in these truths, okay, but I'm going to give them to you again because, well, it's just the right thing to do. So, Paul, he's similar. He says, to write the same thing is no trouble to me. Okay, so not necessarily going to work on that today because we covered that in the class on Wednesday. And he starts out with, rejoice in the Lord. Well, joy and rejoice collectively in 4 short chapters here show up 14 times. So we got plenty of time to cover that. And specifically chapter 4, he's going to say it twice. So we'll work on the rejoicing when we get to chapter 4. So he says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the 8th day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. Okay, so, encourage you to do your own study on dogs. It's an interesting study. Okay, and, tough to always know for sure the Greek words that are translated from the Hebrew, but you go do a little digging in the Old Testament and talk about how God uses dogs, and you can kind of find out what this looks like. But there's one thing we do know from the New Testament about the dog, is he likes to return to his vomit. Okay, so we got a problem here, right? And we covered this in class. You got these Jews, they're becoming Christians. Okay, Jesus is Lord. Faith in Christ Jesus. And then there's all this pressure, okay, largely from the family, okay, and from the Jews to bring this circumcision thing in as well. Now, I'll just highlight the fact that there's no conjunction. I can still think of conjunct, junction, what's your function? I will never forget that. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? And it's to bring a group of things together. Okay? Or 2 complete independent thoughts in the form of sentence structure. So we look at this. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. No and. 3 identifiers for 1 group of people. People, as the rest of the scriptures would say, would like to come in and spy out your freedom. The false circumcision. Okay? Calls them dogs. They keep going back to the law. Blah, and go back to the vomit. Okay? And so that's where I think it aptly applies. Now, I think dog, you can have a couple of reasons why, God uses that term. We got to remember, dogs have been domesticated forever, okay, for a long time. But a little more in our day and age than maybe back then. A lot more wild packs running around than maybe necessarily what we see today, okay? And, specifically as it relates to this issue of circumcision, okay, in Galatians, it's where Paul says, don't bite and devour one another, okay? Again, picture of biting and devouring, a picture of a dog. So he says, rejoice. Writing these things, no problem, good for you. Okay, beware the dog. False workers. Okay, he says, we are the true circumcision. Now, church, I know we understand. The majority of us here understand that statement. Now, there's a handful of some new Christians, so we're going to work through this. Okay? But it's interesting to me because it looks like there's a transition that's taken place, an old and a new, the false and the true. Okay? So we have to understand that this circumcision thing is really hard to shake. Now, I said this in class this morning, but I told you I was going to say it again. So circumcision given by God to Abraham. Long, long time ago. Okay? And the people upheld Abraham as a man of faith, a great example. Their father. We are sons of Abraham. In fact, they liked Abraham so much that John just cages the rabbit before it shows up, the immerser, and says, oh, and by the way, at his baptism, don't go claiming Abraham. Okay? Because God could raise up sons for himself even from these rocks. Okay, so let's move past this Abraham thing. Okay, so circumcision given to Abraham. Now, does circumcision work its way into the law through Moses? Absolutely. Okay, you read it in the law, right? You have a kid, 8 days, boom, circumcision. So it's in the law. Okay, so this thing going to be awfully hard to shake. So because it's so ingrained in Jewish culture, which is Israelite culture, okay, this thing's going to be hard to get rid of, and they eventually became known as the party of the circumcision. Okay, if we actually go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, he says, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called, quote unquote, who's here, uncircumcision by the so-called, quote, circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that that you were at one time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. Now in Christ, you were formerly far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. And it's just demolishing the enmity. Okay, so he says, you Gentiles who are called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, okay, at one time were separate from God's promises, but now, through the mystery that's been revealed, can receive the Spirit. Okay, but what we notice is that this is so entrenched in Israelite history, they eventually just became the party of the circumcision. Right? You know, Peter makes it to Caesarea in Acts chapter 10, and preaches the gospel to the Gentiles. Okay? And he took some circumcised men with him. Acts chapter 10 says, right? Well, what happens in Acts chapter 11? He shows up, and he's got an answering to do because he was just in the house of a Gentile. Right? And so Acts 11 says, those who were of the circumcision took issue with him. What you doing with them uncircumcised Gentiles? Okay? I mean, we can even go class, you know, Galatians class has been a while, but, you know, even when Peter is carried away, right? He says, you know, prior to the coming of certain men of James, Peter was fellowshipping with Gentile Christians, right? And then when these Jews come in, okay, he held himself aloof, as Galatians 2 says, fearing the party of the circumcision. Right? So when we look at Philippians chapter 3, all right, there's clearly a change that's taken place here. Because there's this party of the circumcision, and he calls them false, replacing them with one that is true. Okay, so clearly a transition has taken place. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Okay, starting in verse 21. You know, this morning I mentioned that, you know, Paul had appealed to the Galatian Christians about this issue of faith versus law from a number of different perspectives. Okay? And so here, and not only here, he's going to use the law to prove the law. Okay? All right? He says in verse 21, tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you listen to the law? I mean, you're claiming the law for this whole circumcision thing inside the Christian churches. Let's go examine the law. Seems how you hold so close to the law. Okay? All right. For it's written that Abraham had two sons. All right. One by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the sons of the bondwoman were born according to the flesh, and the son of the free one through promise. He says, this is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants, one proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She is Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to, keyword, present Jerusalem. All right, so you got Hagar, born according to the flesh, they're slaves to their sin, okay? And they correspond to present Jerusalem. She is in slavery with her children, all right? But the Jerusalem above is free. She's our mother. Now, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but Sarah doesn't get mentioned because the emphasis is on the church. Hagar gets mentioned, law, Mount Sinai, slaves, flesh, Hagar. Okay, Jerusalem from above, the church. She is our mother. No, Sarah. The emphasis isn't Sarah. The emphasis is the spiritual kingdom, the church. So he says, Jerusalem from above, she's our mother. She's free. She's our mother. For it's written, rejoice, barren woman who doesn't... Here's the application to the law. You know, in case, you know, Galatian Christian, you're so holding so close to the law. Let's go examine the law. Okay, law says, rejoice, barren woman who does not bear. Bring forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For more numerous are the children of the desolate than those who has a husband. He says, you brethren, you... Galatian Christian, Christians reside in Billings. He says, you're like Isaac, children of promise. Well, that's cool, because we know what the promise is. That's the Holy Spirit. He's like, y'all are like, you're like children of promise, free, Jerusalem above, seated in the heavenly places, not like a mountain that was touched by fire, that the people were afraid to go by. Okay, all right, so I've made my case. Okay, verse 29. At this time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born into the spirit. It's always been that way. It's that way now. So it's now. Okay, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman. Out of here. Transition has taken place. Okay, allegorically, the one that represents a physical nation, gone. Remove it. Done away with. False. Circumcision. Okay, now we can't do this justice without going to Romans 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 27. We got to go to 25. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Okay, so we already know Paul has a spiritual point he is about to make. Because I don't know about you, but turning circumcision into uncircumcision ain't going to happen. So we got a spiritual application. Okay, so, you know, before he makes the obvious point for us, let's open our spiritual eyes and see. Okay, so he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. Now, I just use myself as an example here, okay? I was raised in a Christian home. Grandpa's Christian, Dad's a Christian, I'm a Christian, and Christian kids. Praying for that every day. So, yeah, baptism, okay, was brought out well in the meditation today, through God's working. It's what gives you God's spirit. And I could tell that to you when I was, 5 years old. All right, okay. So when it comes time to actually do this thing, which took 20 years later, okay, I'm studying this thing out, and I already know baptism is equated to the salvation process. But when I stumble across Romans 2 and then compare it with Colossians 2 with where we're headed, that's when it was cemented for me. Listen, I already believed it. And fortunately for me, I was raised in truth. Okay? But this cements it for me. Okay? How could you say someone's not a Jew? Like, it's literally a heritage. Okay? No, Abraham's a Hebrew, and he's my granddaddy's daddy's daddy. So, yeah, I'm a Jew. Okay? I mean, Matthew chapter 1, I mean, it's there for a reason. Establishing that Jesus was born, okay, from God's people, for God's people. So, he's not a Jew who is actually, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, a Jew is God's people. Okay, so someone isn't God's people merely by an outward physical sign. Now, the transition is, what is now God's people is completely dependent upon whether or not there has been an inward circumcision done by the Spirit. Okay, and then Colossians chapter 2 is going to elaborate on this for us. Okay, we got this in meditation, so we'll just start at verse 11. In Christ, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. So there's the spiritual operation, right? Okay, great example, Mike. You go to the doctor, you get an operation. The doctor does the operation. Hopefully he uses his hands. Okay, now, I don't know. They might be using lasers at this point. But the point is, someone's got to get in there and do it. Okay, this operation is spiritual. Okay, and it's cool because, you check out the prophecy in Daniel chapter 2 with that big old statue, and you got this rock coming in. That's an eternal kingdom, and it's cut out of the mountain with what? Without hands. Okay, it's a divine kingdom. It's of heaven descent. So similarly here, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. This is not a man-made operation. This is a heavenly operation. Okay. All right. In the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in immersion, in which you were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Okay. So Romans says, okay, God's people now, the true Jew, the spiritual Jew, the true circumcision, as he said in Philippians, are those who have had an inward circumcision, and Colossians tells us that happens in immersion. That's the place. Okay, so we see there's a transition, and now we've pinpointed where that specific transition takes place. And like I said, I think we understand this. Allegorically speaking, two covenants. Okay, Jerusalem from above, she's free. You see, Hagar, Mount Sinai, slave, slave, slave. Sin, sin, sin. Jesus says anyone who commits a sin is slave of sin. Now, and then that, in that discourse in the Gospel of John, they're like, well, we've never been slaves to anybody. Who was it that stormed Manasseh's gates? Was it the Assyrians? Israel's gone. Okay, and then you just got Judah, and it's going like this, right around Jerusalem, about to choke it completely out, and thank the Lord for Hezekiah. Okay, yep, they've been slaves, physically. But Jesus' point is, you commit sin, and you don't have forgiveness of that, you're a slave of sin. Right? What a great example Judas is. Right? It always bothered me, how did a guy who walked and talked and ate and saw the miracles for just under 3 years, how does a guy like that sell him out? How does that happen? And then the Gospels tell us that, oh, he's stealing money the whole time. Yeah, sin. Yeah. Well, if he kept doing it, he wasn't repenting from it, right? Okay, so sin, unresolved sin, unconfessed sin. Yeah, and you throw the Son of God under the bus. That's how it happens. Okay, so Jerusalem from above, she's free. Okay, well, what does that mean? It means you are free to press forward for God with a clean conscience. I know that we all, to some extent, at some time, do it. You let your past weigh you down. For myself, I'm like, okay, all right. All right. Okay, I got baptized. And along with the other floaty things in Lake Josephine, so went my sins. Okay, all right. So I can believe that. But then since then, okay, there's stumbling stones that come up. Flesh that needs to be overcome. And so I'm sitting there like, oh, dear Lord, please forgive me of this. And I'm like, please. Ugh. Like, I know me. I know my weaknesses. I know my struggles. And I'm pretty sure God knows those too. I think he can do anything, right? Does he actually care enough about me to forgive me? Over and over again. Well, the answer is yes. You see, the purpose, the eternal purpose that God had in hiding the promise of this Spirit is a mystery, was so that he could give it to a people who could operate with a clean, cleansed and clear conscience. When you wake up in the morning having prayed to God, yesterday's gone. Man, it just sometimes my conscience, it burdens me, and I'm like, it's gone. Nolan, it's gone. You see, in Philippians, he calls them a lot of things. Dogs, evil workers, but he calls them the false circumcision, because there is a true circumcision. Now, I've laid the groundwork to show that this is the removing of the nation of Israel and the ushering in of the church, and we understand that. But what is the parable from Matthew 21? Jesus has got a plan, okay, as God. He got a vineyard, and he's got a job that he wants done. And throughout the ages, he keeps sending his prophets, and they just keep killing them and cutting them down. Stephen's like, which one of your prophets did your fathers not kill? Now, how do you think the Sanhedrin like that? Okay, you've become like them, right? He keeps sending his servants. And I look, Jesus asks, he says, What's the owner going to do? He's going to bring him to a wretched end. And he's going to take the vineyard from a people who weren't producing the fruit of it and give it to a people who can and will produce the fruit of it. And that is the nature and purpose of the true circumcision. To produce the fruit of it. Now, I can't say fruit without Galatians 5. Let's go. Okay, Nolan, we know. We've even got it memorized. All right, well, let's check it out. Verse 18. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. The deeds of the flesh are evident. Okay, so that means that there's evidence of them. Fair enough? Okay, so not your job to find your neighbors, okay? Your job to find your own, okay? But there's evidence of it. Oh. All right. Which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Whew. That's how them false teachers like to work. Stuff that appeals to the flesh rather than to the mind. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Okay. I guess the list goes on. Okay. He says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. I just know for myself, I need sections of scripture like this. Okay, all right, you know, I mean, this is an illustration, right? Like, oh, still working on the outburst of the anger. Okay, let's be honest. There's evidence of these things. Okay, maybe it's the slandering and the gossiping and the divisive language and the divisive conversations. You know, whatever it is, right? Okay. God says there's evidence of these things. All right, you know, I got to work on this anger thing. Okay. But then, you know, on the flip side, you know, you get a chance to see, you know, how spiritual are you? Right? Does patience come easy? Right? Does joy come easy? That's interesting. You know, I mean, those are the first two that pop in my mind, and then my mind instantly goes to Jesus' words. He says, "My joy I give you, so that you may have it in full." Right? So, as spiritual people, we ought to be full of joy. Okay? And then peace, Jesus says, I give to you. Not as the world gives, but how I give. Okay? You know, that reconciling, forgiven, free from sin, to live with God, peace. We can have these things. So we got to pause, take an internal inventory, ask ourselves, how spiritual are we? Okay? That's what sections of scripture like this do for me. So we got to bear the fruit of that. So he goes down here in chapter 6, and you know, he's really working on the brethren. Okay, looking out for one another, all right? And he's going to give us some examples about people who are stumbling and bumbling. And so you consider yourself spiritual, and you got the joy and the peace and the love. You got that. You go help your brother, okay? You know, stop talking about him and go help him, okay? So he reminds us that in verse 8, he says, the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Okay? For let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And so he has previously made the point, okay, you're going to reap what you sow. So you sow a pea seed, a pea pot, you're going to get peas. You know, you sow corn, you're going to get corn. You sow the Spirit, you're going to get Spirit. You sow the flesh, you're going to get flesh. And he showed us in chapter 5 what that's going to look like. Okay? So, okay, all right, you know, God's ushered in the picture. God's the great communicator. God has the best pictures and illustrations. Okay? And so he gives us the garden. He gives us fruit. All right. Well, I guess you need water, sun, and soil. Yeah. You gardeners, just bear with me here. Okay? You know, you're pumping your minerals, and I get it. Okay? You're doing it. Okay? But you need the sunlight. Okay? And the air. And, but primarily you need the sunlight and the soil. And the water. And then Jesus is like, I'm living water. Okay. I mean, we got what it takes to produce the fruit of the harvest. We have it in living water. Which John tells us, he spoke of the Holy Spirit who indwell those at Jesus' glorification. Okay. Christian, can you behold the light of the knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus? The answer is, because it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You got the light? Question is, what kind of soil are you? Now I think of the prophet Isaiah, who tells us that God looks upon those who are humble, contrite spirit, and tremble at his word. What kind of soil are you? Hey, take the internal inventory. You know, listen, this is just how it worked, okay? We got Galatians in the morning in class, and we got Philippians for the preaching this morning, and this issue of circumcision, it just keeps overlapping everywhere, okay? And, and so Paul's working on it. Telling us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Telling us to shine like lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That we wouldn't seek our own, but the interests of others. And then he says, finally, my brethren, in chapter 3, you are the true circumcision. Now, we did a little bit of teaching here in the beginning for us to understand and to get to what he's talking about there. If there's a false one and a new one, then there's been a transition. Okay? Well, why? God in his plan, wants to take the kingdom, give it to the true circumcision, because they and they alone are the ones who can produce the fruit of it. That's pretty cool. And he's talking about you. Circumcision made without hands in your immersion through faith in the working of God. Laid aside the old man by cutting him off. Floating down the river or down the drain. You know. Gone. And the way, Christian, you're going to do this, okay, is by your faith in Christ Jesus. By your love for God. And if you will do it, and if you will follow Jesus, you can bear the fruit of a kingdom that God has been waiting a long time to give to a certain special people, you, the church, who's free from above. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that's pretty exciting to me. That there is a people who can do this. I mean, I don't know about you, but I look myself in that mirror and I'm like, can I do this? Walk blameless before my God? Handle accurately the word of truth and to seek the kingdom and build it, knowing God's going to build it and I want a part of it. I want in. And the time is now. The kingdom's been given to a people who can actually do it because they are indwelt by God's Spirit. And if you will just get your carcass out of the way and follow the Spirit, it will lead you into the spiritual things and you will bear the fruit of it, glorifying our God. What are you going to do this week? Oh, well, I'm going to go to the Olive Garden, you know, and going to get some breadsticks. And if you do it right, you get the Alfredo boat with it so you can dip the breadstick in the Alfredo, right? You know, okay. Going camping. Got to unplug, you know. Okay. Times of refreshing are coming, Christian, and they're in the form of the Spirit. Now, I'm going camping this week, so I'm not saying you can't go camping. My point is, we got it. We can do it. You know, I guess what I want to leave us with is, okay, you can do this. You can do it. And you can start right now. You fire it back up. If you've been on fire, you just keep going. But you can do this. Because you are the true circumcision, and the purpose was to give you that kingdom so that you could carry out God's purpose that he waited a long time for. Okay, all right, well, okay. How? You know, even when I said it, I was thinking to myself, okay, all right, Nolan, how am I going to communicate this? Okay, I said, you're going to do this by your faith in Christ Jesus. And the congregation said, amen. Okay, but what does that mean? I mean, what's that look like? I see the way y'all are looking at me. You agree with me. What does that look like? Hey, you know, that's a big question. And I'm just going to leave you with one point tonight. You go and serve someone. You go help somebody else out this week. You know, I say, what are you going to do this week? You know, I don't know. I just bear the fruit of an eternal kingdom that's been given to a people who can. Okay, how are you going to do that? Well, you go help somebody this week. That's what you do. Okay, now, listen, this is a great illustration and unfortunately involves me. It is not to elevate me. It is just because it's a good illustration. So I'm a new Christian doing the whole, you know, work 100 hours a week and try to catch morning assembly. Okay, missing Wednesday class because I work. I get it. And I'm struggling. I'm not happy. I'm supposed to be happy because Jesus was happy and he told me I could be happy, but I'm kind of struggling, finding my purpose and my place, and I don't know what to do. So before work, I would always go to City Brew and read my Bible because, you know, I was supposed to read my Bible, you know, so I did that. And I was still trying to figure out, what does this look like? You need some help sometimes, right? So I just started taking, you know, 15 minutes every day, and I just started pushing the shopping carts back into their stall at the Walmart parking lot by the City Brew that I used to go to. Okay? Now, I'm not here to say, look at how nice I was. My point is, there's one thing looking back I inherently understood through the teaching of Jesus. okay, is that to love and to have faith is to serve and sacrifice. That's it. I was like, okay, I got to figure out, like, you know, I'm not looking for this emotional experience, but I'm trying to understand what faith in Christ Jesus looks like in my life. I'm like, how do I get that going? I was like, you know what? We've all been to Walmart. The shopping carts don't make it to the shopping cart stalls. They get put in the parking spot that you want to park in, but you can't get in. And then you got to get out and move the shopping cart, right? And now you got to go put it back into its spot. So that's just kind of how that works, okay? And the thing that I understood was when I did this, not a single person would know I was doing it. And that's why I did it, because it dawned on me, my life can't be about me, and it cannot be about other people knowing what I'm doing. So, and if you're here today, you're a part of the true circumcision if you've been immersed into Christ Jesus. And it is a wonderful thing that a kingdom, the owner of the vineyard has given it to you because he has this perfect kingdom that's beautiful. And his branches are the souls of God. And they bear fruit. Okay. I think the scriptures make the case for that's something that you ought to want to be a part of. Okay. Now what's your part? That's the question each and every one of you got to figure out. And a lot of you do know. A lot of you know. It starts with saying, hey, what can I do? Okay. Some people are the muscle. Right? Some people help out quite a bit monetarily. Okay. You find yours. Maybe you can teach. Maybe you can be a teacher of God's word. Maybe you can just help a young group of kids through the book of Judges. I mean, well, whew, you know, tough stuff. Okay. But find your spot. And if you're not sure, you start today. And if you don't know where to start, you go serve someone else. You go sacrifice for someone else. And the rest comes in. Amen? Let's stand. Is it hot in here or is it me? It's me? Okay. Let's pray. Dear God, how great is it you hear us? You know, the CEO climbs the ladder and gets so high that, you know, he doesn't hear the employees. Not even sure how many locations he has in Montana itself. And you're the creating God. And you know your people. And, oh yeah, you know the hairs on our head. That's so amazing to me. And then you care for the hair on our head. You care for us. Wow. Lord, we're here today to proclaim Jesus Christ, our faith in him, the covenant that he ushered in, and to remind us of our commitment to that covenant, that we would walk faithfully, that we would do our best to please you because we love you. It is a great time to be of your church, and we all have a part to play as we have all been immersed into one body. And God has placed each into that body just as he has desired. It is a special time to be a Christian, that we, through your Spirit, can carry out the purpose for which you created the world, to produce a people who would glorify your name and remain faithful, not chase after money and the nations and war, but to desire you, and so much so that we're willing to sacrifice all those other things, the careers if it needs be, and the relationships and the money if it needs be, so that we can seek you by faith because of our love for you. It really, really is an amazing plan that you have put together. And on top of all of it, you laid down your life to usher it in. So we see sacrifice is that cornerstone of love, that foundation that communicates to us of who we ought to be. So I just pray, as the privileged people as we are, the true circumcision, those who are free, yesterday's gone, the mind can be cleared, the conscience can be freed, the heart can be strong to move forward, to do your will, and that we would desire to do it. And Lord, I Just pray that if we don't know quite what that looks like or how we can play our part, you know, I mean, go camping, do your thing, but go out and serve someone today and help someone else out, because that's the example that we have through Christ Jesus. It's interesting. Yeah, that word service and sacrifice, they're awfully closely related. Jesus came to serve, and he sacrificed himself. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.